This is your Week in Gaming, episode 36, recorded on the 29th of March, 2024, to bring you all the latest news from the world of gaming. On today's episode of the podcast, we talk Hasbro D&D, a new first-person shooter, Dragon's Dogma 2, and a Formula 1 Excel sheet. Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 36 of your Week in Gaming. For those of you that don't know, those working folk I know will be super happy about this. Happy Easter, if you celebrate it. I know that us in South Africa, we look forward to this because it's like the one real long weekend that we have, which is, it's so good. I'm joined by fellow South African, Samantha.
Yo, I don't know what a public holiday is because my work schedule is like wibbly wobbly. But, you know, for everybody else, happy for you, bro.
Yeah, you're one of those fortunate few that don't have to worry about things like that. But people like me, we cherish and we live for those public holidays. Let me tell you, it's one of those. It's like when they do come around, it's just, it's so nice knowing that tomorrow I don't have to go to work because we're recording this on the Thursday before the Friday. I don't have to go to work on Monday, but I do have studies to do. So that's going to be tomorrow. And I'm probably going to do all my studies on Monday. Yeah, it's one of those things where
I've done nothing this whole week, and then at 1 o'clock tomorrow morning I have a broadcast, and then I'm not working until like next week Wednesday. So I too have a long weekend.
I'm actually not going to say anything of that because I'm actually just jealous is really where it comes from.
You know what? It's good that you have that introspection, Andrew.
Yeah, it's I'm a little bit jealous if I'm 100% honest, but you know, before we start going down that little rabbit hole of my jealousy and everything, let's just get on to the other gaming news because we've got quite a bit this week. And gaming news now, and Hasbro has teased more video games based on Dungeons & Dragons are in the works from the company's developers, following Larian Studios' recent announcement. If you have missed this, they've confirmed that there's going to be no DLC for Baldur's Gate 3, or that there's a sequel that's going to be following the game's massive success. Now, Hasbro remains optimistic about D&D video games, even without a future partnership with Larian Studios. Unfortunately, we don't know, you know, more news around all of this, but as we learn a little bit more about Hasbro's announcement, we will pass on all that information through to you. And I'm not too upset about this. We don't need to have just all the D&D games now. There's plenty of really good ones, or at least games that have got that kind of backing to it. Like there's Baldur's Gate 3. If you like those kind of turn-based RPGs, Larian Studios have made Divinity Original Sin 2 and Divinity Original Sin. There's like Pathfinder. There's also a game called Celesta, Crown of the Magister. If you have got Xbox Game Pass, it is on there for you to try as well. So my suggestion is, like, you know, there's plenty of other D&D games if you need to get your fix.
I think that this really shows why Larian put so much, maybe not why they did, but it really, like, they put a lot into BG3. Like a lot. We spoke about this at length over the months leading up to the release. You know, the number of different endings, the voice lines, the graphics, right, the cinematics, everything that they put into this game, heart and soul into kind of their swan song of the Baldur's Gate series. So kind of love that. I think the big thing here isn't necessarily a concern of lack of D&D games, but more a concern, or maybe not a concern, but lamenting the loss of Larian and just how much they put into the game and into the series. So that's a bit sad. But yeah, you know, as you say, right, there's so many other potential options for D&D games. If you prefer the more like full-on RPG style, I'm a big believer in Neverwinter Nights. It's old as hell, but it is still a ton of fun. So there's still a lot of options. And obviously Hasbro have said they're going to bring out more D&D games. So yeah, that's the thing that's happening.
There's so many. There's plenty of these games around. So I don't think it's going to be a case of people going to be like, oh, there's nothing to play. Baldur's Gate 3 has got so many endings. And it's got so much replayability in its core as well. So, like, it's fine. Hasbro, take your time. Release a game. Just make sure it's not as poorly released as some games have been over the last little bit.
Yeah, more on that in a bit. So NetEase has announced a new hero shooter similar to Overwatch or Paladins, but with a surprise twist. it's Marvel. This is so cool. I was watching the trailer for this, and look, the graphics are very kind of the only word I could think of was janky, and janky is not the word, but it's not as smooth as Overwatch, right? But they're obviously thinking about like mobile and console and stuff. They've got all of that in their minds, but it's all these like Marvel heroes. It looks dope as hell. The game will feature 6v6 team play, reminiscent of Overwatch 1, featuring characters from The Avengers, Guardians of the Galaxy, X-Men, and more. And characters will not only be from the main, you know, Marvel Cinematic Universe, but drawn from a variety of Marvel publications. Like there's Penny Parker. There's like, oh, I forget her name, but she's like a Russian superhero. I remember I Googled it when I like saw her in the things, like, who the hell is that? But yeah, so there's like a ton of different people that you may not be familiar with, which is really cool as well. And what sets it apart from other hero shooters is the incorporation of destructible environments and team-based special moves. Okay. For example, Rocket Raccoon can ride on Groot's back. Or the Hulk can use gamma rays to transform Iron Man's armor into something even more powerful. The game will also feature a storyline crafted by the NetEase writing team, with a clash between Dr. Doom and his future counterpart from the year 2099 has forced countless universes to collide in the time stream entanglement, creating new worlds and crises still unknown. So, you know, standard Marvel things. Alpha testing goes live this May, so sign up if you're interested. While the game's launch is slated for sometime in 2025 on PC, of course, with console and mobile very likely to follow.
The game sounds so cool. One, I am a big fan of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I am a big fan of, you know, all the superheroes that kind of exist within Marvel. There are some that I believe aren't real superheroes, but like Ant-Man, for one, I think is a absolute shocking choice of a superhero. But
that's terrible.
I know that people are going to absolutely hate me. Look, I've got nothing against Paul Rudd. I've got something very much against Ant-Man. I think it's a stupid concept, but that's another thing. Look, it sounds really cool. Overwatch, not Overwatch 2, was a great game, right? Overwatch 2, not so great, right? So, you know, destructible world, being able to, you know, have the Guardians of the Galaxy, you know, imagine running around with them just shooting, you know, Star-Lord or somebody. Sounds so cool. I'm super keen for this. And knowing that alpha testing goes live in May, I'm definitely going to be one of those who wants to get into that. For all you MMO lovers that say Guild Wars is better than World of Warcraft, first of all, really? But more on that a little bit later. Guild Wars 3 has been greenlit by NCSoft, but don't get too excited about it just yet. Well, maybe you can. Acting chairman Park Byung-mu, I probably butchered that, and I'm super sorry.
Do you know, so the funny thing is that our video editor Erica is like huge into Korean culture, and she's just gonna be going the whole way through editing that. It's gonna be great,
Erica. I do apologize in advance, but also I'm not sorry, really. But anyways, so he actually specifically mentioned Guild Wars 3 in an investor meeting. So this was a little update to the article that we were basing the story on. As like, nope, Guild Wars 3 is, you know, was specifically mentioned in this investor meeting. So I can think we can pretty much say that it will definitely be happening. Despite the layoffs that took place back in 2019, ArenaNet has been working on a new project for some time. In 2022, they were openly hiring for an unannounced AAA game in pre-production based on established fantasy online IP and to be made in Unreal Engine 5. I mean, this pretty much sounds like it's going to be, sorry, I'm completely just derped out for this second-tier MMO that's Guild Wars 3. Even if it is now entering production, it may still be 4 to 5 years before it gets to market. In the meantime, play a far superior MMO like World of Warcraft, and I'm super sorry for my bias.
No, you're not.
I mean, look, I understand the appeal to Guild Wars. I've had friends that have played so many hours of Guild Wars 2, and they were like, yo, dude, you must get into it. I tried, and I just like World of Warcraft more. I find it a far better game.
So, like, my issue, right? So, I've got friends that play Final Fantasy. I've got friends that play Guild Wars. I've got friends that play, like, a variety of different MMOs. And my main issue, when I started World of Warcraft, I got a level boost. So, I was like, sweet, I'm doing current content. Off we go. Then I started playing Guild Wars or Final Fantasy, and I started at level one. And I was like, wow, this is really boring. I am not enjoying this. Why am I doing this to myself? For those of you who are new to a game, to grind through all of the old content to get to the latest content and to actually feel like you're relevant and that what you're doing actually matters. Like, I only started doing old World of Warcraft content about a year and a half after I started playing the game for the first time. So the slog of going through all of that content was what put me off. And people are still telling me, oh, Final Fantasy raids are better, Guild Wars is better, this is better, that's better, you know, all these concepts, oh, we can have our own houses or whatever. And I'm like, great, but I still don't want to have to slog through everything that I have to slog through before I get to that point, because I have no delayed gratification when I can have instant gratification. Why? Like, why? No.
Yeah, look, it either way, MMOs require a lot of time, and it's important to, if you want to play an MMO, to invest the time into such a game, right? To then split it across multiple different MMOs is difficult, right? Unless you're like really staying, you know, up to date with everything, you know, you get your gear from the latest raids and you're done and there's nothing else for you. Sure.
But raid logging.
Oh man, that's just another thing. It's my only gripe that I have with World of Warcraft, but again, it's, you're going to have different MMOs that are going to appeal for different people. Mm. I, for one, just think that Guild Wars is a inferior world MMO, and I'm super sorry to say it, but it's just my opinion.
You know, we could have had a really great competitor in Riot and their MMO, but chances are that's not happening with Ghostcrawler leaving. You know what? I'm just not Andrew. I'm just We're not doing this.
Cry a tear.
You know what? Crying is a free action. That's a D&D reference for those who don't know. Dragon's Dogma 2 is yet another game with a less than stellar launch. The new action RPG in the Dragon's Dogma series, with a vast world and character creation tools, launched with mixed reception. Despite achieving record player numbers on Steam, the game was review bombed by users unhappy with performance issues, microtransactions, and a limited save system. And by a limited save system, what I mean by that is you get one save file. You get one. If you want to start a brand new game, but run it concurrently, you have to buy a new save slot. Okay, moving on. These microtransactions, especially for conveniences like fast travel, felt at odds with the game's core design. Capcom addressed the situation by apologizing for bugs and promising future updates to fix crashes and improve the save system. However, they maintained their stance on microtransactions, which players can still purchase to obtain cosmetic items and conveniences that can also be earned in-game. Although the initial reception was rocky, somehow, the positive aspects of the core gameplay seem to be winning over players, with review scores on the rise despite the controversy. Now, I have never in my life heard of pay to save. I've heard of pay to win, and I've heard of pay to play. But pay to save is a whole new circle of hell that I am unfamiliar with.
It is definitely something that is almost genre breaking, as well as breaking your launch for a game, right? Pay to save is one of the silliest things I've ever heard. Like, I came across, when I heard about this, I was scrolling through TikTok and Shroud was talking about it. And I was like, hold on, a game that charges you for an extra save slot is crazy. It's crazy to think that you think that that is a good idea. You get one save slot. Oh, you want another one? Here, pay us, what is it, $10, $15 or whatever it is. That is, this game is also a single player game, right?
Mm. Yeah, It's, and the thing is, like, so there's the part where they say that they promised to improve the save system. And basically what that means is that, if I remember correctly, it had something to do with, like, deleting your old save and making a new one. Like, you couldn't do that. So they're, like, trying to fix that aspect of it. I could be wrong, folks. So, you know, forgive me. But it had nothing to do with no longer making new saves, pay to save, which is a choice. It is a choice.
Look, if that's the hill that you're going to, you know, put your flag on and say, yep, this is it, like, you best be super, you know, ready to die on that hill as well. Because from my perspective, that, for a single player game, that is absolutely, like, outrageous. For, like, if you had to do it for, like, an MMO, right, for an MMO, for an extra character or something, like, if I'm not mistaken, I think the Elder Scrolls Online has got some sort of system like that, where you have, you know, when you have the game, it's like 3 or 4 characters. If you want an additional character slot, it's like, it's a couple of dollars. It's nothing huge, which, again, like, it seems fine. But for a single player game, that just seems, it seems outlandish for somebody like me. Maybe there's a reason, and maybe there is an appeal for it, and maybe that's why people still play it. But from, you know, an outsider looking into a game that I'm probably not going to play, it's crazy.
Well, let's move on to my soon-to-be success. I hit up Kickstarter today because I wanted to see what's hot and trending and what looks like it's going to make a splash. And I discovered The Darkest Files. Now, The Darkest Files is a narrative-driven investigation and courtroom game for PC, Mac, and Nintendo Switch, based on true historical crimes of the Nazi era. You play as Esther Katz, a young prosecutor in 1956 West Germany, tasked with solving cold cases. The game features a unique noir-inspired graphic novel look and combines 2D comic book panels with free-roaming 3D environments. Gameplay involves investigating crimes, interrogating suspects, and reconstructing the crime scene using a reconstruction board. You will then present your case in court and argue against the defense. There are also different difficulty modes for those of us that just want the story and those who really want to rack their brains and be tested by the unique and interesting puzzles to beat out the clock. The game is set against the backdrop of a society still grappling with the aftermath of World War II and explores themes of justice, truth, and perseverance. The lowest tier backing is for like 25 euros, which is like 500 bucks, which really is not bad. And it looks really sick if you're a fan of like the Sherlock Holmes style type investigation games. Plus, you've got like the added whole courtroom drama scene that you can play out. And the fact that it's based on real, like, it was based on, I think it was Fritz Bauer, was an attorney in Nazi Germany, or like post-Nazi Germany, who was, you know, doing cold cases and stuff. So it's kind of based on his work and the cases that they worked on. So I think this is really dope. I'm probably going to end up backing this. And I found it by chance.
It sounds like a very unique game. I don't think there's many games like this. I mean, there's been games where you've been like a crime scene investigator and you go invest crimes and find clues to try and link people to it. But to actually be an attorney in a courtroom and to go and like look at those, piece together the whole crime or whatever with your proof on like a board. I can imagine with, you know, like all the little red strings tying up all the connections between people. That kind of thing seems so cool to me. I also like the whole, like, games that are based around the era of like World War II. You know, there's like The Saboteur, which was like, you know, during, it was like based in France during like World War II. There's plenty of games that like are based around that time era, like Wolfenstein has got links to that kind of to like Nazi Germany era. I enjoy those kind of games, and it's not a expensive backing for the other game as well. 500 bucks, I mean, is like a indie game, roughly nowadays. So, I mean,
oh, there are some early access games that cost that, like
exactly. And games that stay there in early access forever and ever, amen. But, you know, 25 euros, it's not a bad price ultimately for you know, for the year of the game, by what it sounds like. The fact that it's going to be on multi-platform as well means that you could play this game on your Switch in bed or on your MacBook. You know, even the Mac guys get a little bit of love with this. PC, obviously, if it has to go out to like be like PlayStation and things as well at a later stage, maybe that's even better. But this, it sounds really, really cool. I like the whole court case thing.
Yeah, I did see that one of their stretch goals, which I believe they did reach, or they were like just short of reaching, something like that, was to essentially be able to port it for Steam Deck as well. So they're really trying to like branch out as much as possible and make it playable for as many people as possible. And obviously, like if the game kicks off and it goes massive, then chances are you might get ports for other consoles and stuff. So yeah, guys, go check that out. That's on Kickstarter. Reminder, it is called The Darkest Files. And it looks super dope. But if you can't find it, just like there's, if you go into the search, you can just search for like games, PC games, games we love, and it's there. So go check it out.
As always, there's so much news that has been out this week and haven't been able to cover everything within here. So we're going to spitfire some items within our special mention segment. And have you heard about the zombie survival game Undawn? No, don't worry, neither have we. The game has been out for a year, and even with Will Smith playing the protagonist and doing a lot of the advertising online, the game has been a very expensive flop. You hate to see it.
I think they said the game was $140 million to make, and it's just like kablooied. Speaking of Tencent, who, you know, did the Undawn, they're reportedly working on new games similar to Palworld to capitalize on its success in the genre mixing market. Notable game developers under Tencent Games include Riot Games, Lightspeed Studios, and Timmy Studio Group. Tencent's attempt to find the next big hit comes after recent challenges with cancellations and financial misfires. Undawn! What was that even?
Yeah, that's a big rough one. The Path of Exile 2 beta has been delayed to later in 2024 due to unforeseen challenges during gameplay polishing. Developer Grinding Gear Games prioritizes gameplay quality over strict deadlines, aiming for a polished player experience. Alpha testing will proceed as planned in June, with the beta postponed to help enhance gameplay before the release. I like this from them. I really do.
Awesome. I remember when... Was it Dragonflight that got delayed, or was it Battle for Azure? There was one WoW expansion that was delayed by like a month and a half because they were like, we need to fix everything. And it came out way, way, way better. And yeah, like players were a little bit upset, but we were more pleased about the fact that there was open, honest communication about what was happening. And they delayed the game and it did in fact come out better. So, you know what? Props to you guys. You're being honest. You're letting the players know what they need to know. And you're still following through on your word, even if it's slightly delayed. So, we love that. We also love when people in power speak up against greedy practice and actually put their money where their mouths are. Sven Vink of Baldur's Gate 3 has criticized gaming industry layoffs due to corporate greed and urges companies to slow down on their greed, take care of employees, and prioritize projects. Larian Studios encourages laid-off developers to apply and stands against frequent layoffs.
Big dub over there. Palia is now available on Steam. The updates for Palia Steam launch includes new content, quests, rewards, decor, and a giant in-game Frogbert plushie for players to redeem.
You know, now that it's not on Epic anymore, I might start playing it again. Bethesda celebrated their 30 years of Elder Scrolls with a non-update on Elder Scrolls 6. It's still in early development and likely a few years away from being released. Get comfy, gamers. We're in for a long wait.
Resident Evil 9 will reportedly be an open-world game. After Dragon's Dogma 2 expanded the RE engine's open-world functionality, Capcom is said to be keen to keep building on that achievement with Resident Evil 9 and Monster Hunter Wilds. The next mainline entry in the Resident Evil series still hasn't been officially announced, but it's rumored to be targeting a 2025 release.
Ugh, more open-world. This next one is probably my favorite bit of news, just because, like, aesthetically, it's just, oh, it's chef's kiss. The Dead by Daylight Slipknot collection is now available, including 8 new cosmetics for the game's killers inspired by the popular heavy metal band. 7 of those are masks that can be combined with the game's existing and future cosmetics, which for Slipknot fans, you understand, like, the masks, such a huge thing. I love this. I love this collab. I think this is, like, the best collab that I have seen so far. This is awesome.
So much better than a Dr. Phil Fortnite skin, right?
Oh, God, please. An anything Fortnite skin, okay? Please, get Naruto out. For the love of God.
And in this week's news, nobody cares about at all, especially Samantha here. Formula One is the pinnacle of racing, with massive money being spent. I mean, if you don't have an idea of how much money we're talking about, we're talking, each team probably spends around between $100 to $140 million a year. That's the cap that they have to, they cannot spend more than that. To give you an idea, 10 teams, we're talking massive money. And that's not including the money that the whole F1 management makes as well from all of this. But what if I told you that there was a team that managed all 20,000 parts of their car in an Excel worksheet? The pinnacle of racing and technology. And we're not just talking like racing technology. We're talking like computer technology, AI, all of this kind of stuff. Like, the pinnacle of all of that is within Formula One. Well, apparently Excel was still being used. It recently came out that James Vowles and Pat Fry, who took over the role of team principal and chief technical officer roles at Williams F1 back in 2023, were shocked to learn that prior to them joining, Williams F1 managed their car build in a Microsoft Excel sheet. You'd think that, you know, with all the programs and tech that they have access to that we as, like, just like the general populace don't have access to, would have that, you know. Again, Excel, for those people that don't know, is that little application that you open to quickly do math sums, or where you use equals sum to put two things together, or other very simplistic things that people use it for, like budgets. Right, I know that they are absolute whizzes at Microsoft Excel, right? And I've met some of them, and you can do powerful things. But the pinnacle of motorsport, using Excel to manage over 20,000 items that go on a car, is just crazy. You think, yeah, we've passed it, you know, again, multi-billion dollar industry, but clearly people are still enjoy the simplicity of a spreadsheet, I guess.
You know, Andrew, it could have been worse. Could have been Google Sheets, you know? At least they forked out that $100 a month, you know? It's the little things. I'll be honest though, okay. If it was working, what the problem is?
You see, the problem is that, look, okay, so James Vowles, in the interview that they did with with The Race, or I think they're actually called We Are The Race. Great YouTube channel if you're into Formula One and stuff. They do like really good in-depth videos on a lot of things. They're able to do like a lot of really nice interviews with some high profile people like James Vowles. It's crazy to think that, you know, a team still used Excel. He slammed it. He said, like, he was flabbergasted. It was super difficult to navigate. It was very difficult to update as well. He said he was blown away. Pretty much the first half of his entire year was just getting the technology up in the team as a whole, not using Excel. There were parts of the car with the tech that needed to be increased tenfold, which they were able to do in that time span. It's still just crazy to think about that a team was using Excel, because again, like, if you look at the sponsors, people like Oracle, you know, big tech company, Dropbox, Google, all of these big tech companies are in the motorsport, but yet somehow we stick to Microsoft Excel? Really?
I think it's great. Just for the memes, I think it's fantastic. We need more people doing shit like this, just to, like, make you lose your mind.
when I read this, I was super triggered. But fortunately, fortunately, you know, James Vowles has come in and has turned that team around. And they're beginning to look like an actual competitor. And fortunately, not using Microsoft Excel to manage inventory for a freaking car. Rant over.
Before we head into our wrap up, I just want a quick little reminder to everyone listening at home. Gaming is moving into a far more inclusive sphere. Many games are bringing out non-binary characters. Valorant just did. Overwatch has got one in the works. It's becoming a trend. Nobody expects you to perfectly remember all of the pronouns, but it doesn't take anything to try. Friendly reminder from your favorite Sam.
Well, that about rounds up our news in gaming this week. Thank you so much for tuning in to episode 36 of Your Week in Gaming. You can find us on socials at YWIG Podcast and by email at yourweekingamingpodcast@gmail.com. I am Andrew, and you can find me at My Name is Pengu.
I'm Sam, and you can find me at Nari Mizuki.
A big shout out to our video editor, Erica. You do a fantastic job all the time, and I'm super sorry that I destroy your Korean names. Our next episode will be out on Friday, the 5th of April, 2024 at 7 a.m. GMT+2 and across all major podcast platforms. We'll see you next week, everybody. Bye.